home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Tassel, Baltimore. We are Baltimore positive. I am trying to get my levels right here. We're down here at Fadley's. I'll tell you what, man, the baseball thing and how crowded it is down here. The Astros are in town. It's all part of our crab cake tour and our 27th anniversary doings and eatings. I'm going to be eating the shrimp salad here today. All are brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Our friends at Curia Wellness, who put me up at the golf tournament. I'm going to have R.J. Shepherd by a little later on. We're going to talk to him about, you know, golf and Forest Park and Classic Five. But I'm going to get a little baseball in today. I'm going to get a little football in. Luke and I never get together in the same place at the same time. There's, like, no pressure on this baseball team right now. They're actually playing a little bit better. The Batista thing, the young guys, Basayo and Beavers and all of that going on. And the Ravens, it's almost like school's going back. You know, fall's coming. This Bills game is going to be a crescendo of hugeness. I don't know that the baseball thing, people are staying into the oxygen of all of it. I have stayed with it just to see how it's being presented.
Yeah.
Certainly the anger of the fan base in regard to the tickets and last place and all of that. That's another story. But onto the field and where you are, it is interesting to watch to some degree if you like baseball and you're saying, who are these guys and who's going to be a pile diver?
Well, and that's the big thing I've tried to stress to you, even as this season has been the nightmare that it's been in so many different ways, is no matter if it's Mike Elias or everyone, you know, people who don't like Mike Elias get their wish and there's another general manager and, like, everything goes the way you want it to from a free agency standpoint, making a couple trades, finding a new closer, because, you know, we'll get into Batista more specifically. We've all acknowledged that you can be perfect with all those other moves, but if this young core, at least the bulk of it, it doesn't have to be every single guy. And we've already seen it's not going to be every single guy. I mean, we've talked about Kurt. We're not even talking about Kerstad right now. And as I've kind of said, let's at least put that on the side until we find out exactly what's going on. But the point is, they need these guys to work out. This was built starting 6 years ago when Adley Rutschman was drafted, that it was going to be a young core of position players. We know that they haven't emphasized drafting pitching as much. Whether they've done that enough or not, we've talked about that. They have started to emphasize it a little bit more. But we've said all along, these young guys, like, they're it. And the one thing that I've kind of liked from Tony Mancelino here over the last couple weeks is acknowledging that publicly and saying, like, look, Cedric Mullins isn't here anymore. Ryan O'Hearn isn't here. Kyle Gibson and Anthony Santander and Austin Hayes and all these guys that had kind of sort of been veteran leaders, not in the way that you thought of Eddie Murray and Cal Ripken or Jim Palmer, you know, way back when, or Frank Robinson in 1966. But they were the most veteran guys they had. They're all gone now. So it really is a case of, like, guys, look around. You need to make of this what you want to make it. And I think, hopefully, and I want to be, I'm hesitant in saying this because I said this to you last summer and we see how this year's turned out. I'm hoping that this is going to pay some dividends for them long term from a standpoint of these young guys kind of realizing we need to grow up. But ultimately, it comes back to this. They need to be better. We've talked about this. I mean, Adley Rutschman, we've talked about for a calendar year now. Jackson Holliday, yeah, step forward this year, but he needs more. You need more from Kobe Mayo. You need Jordan Westberg to stay on the field as he's now banged up again. So,
well, I was going to say, in looking at it, I just want to see all of them on the field at one time, right? Like, for a series, a week, a month, you know, let alone a season. But, like, that's been problematic.
And
you know, Joe Poyle, my buddy, who I know watches out there down in Tampa, comes on all the time. Yeah, he wrote me a note about, like, their training staff and how now Batista's another guy gone again.
Yeah.
After Means, after Wells, after Bradish twice, after here we go, Rodriguez.
Yeah.
I mean, we're going down a list here of you and I getting on an airplane in Arlington now 2 years ago.
Sure.
You know, after the disappointment of all of that. And saying, what will this be when it grows up? I mean, look, You can beat Elias up all you want. He did bring Corbin friggin' Burns in.
Sure.
And gave it a chance. He did trade for this Rodgers guy who looks like he's going to be the opening
day
starter
next
year.
Not nearly
right?
as bad as it
so,
did two
I mean,
months ago.
You know,
yeah.
He's the one guy whose arm is still on, right? So I look at it, and it is sort of Oriole tragic in yeah. the way that we'll never know and all of that. And we'll get to Lamar's step over and missing practice too. But, you know, Lamar would have been that guy 2 years ago, 3 years ago, where he's not playing the playoff games, yeah. right? If you're not playing the playoff games, you can be 12-1 and get hurt December 12th and like, and it's over, right?
Yeah.
So from the baseball perspective, the Westbrook thing, problematic. And just really getting where Rutschman's going to be, Bisaio, Beavers. We talked about Kerstad with some maybe off the feet, you know, like physical problems.
Whatever it is.
Whatever
right.
it is, it's not allowing him to play. And their inability to stay healthy as, yeah. as a theme. As a
yeah.
theme.
Well, I think a lot of that, and, you know, maybe this is where we use Batista as the example here. I think it's a reminder that you think back to where they were. Think back to the night Batista hurt his elbow. It was late, almost 2 years ago to the day. We're coming up on the two-year anniversary for that. And you think about the days before that. You thought about where this team was, how Bradish was pitching the second half of the year. I mean, he pitched great that entire year. Grayson Rodriguez, the way he pitched that second half. You had Batista. Cano was an all-star reliever. You had Gunner being rookie of the, on his way to being rookie of the year. Adley Rutschman was a fringe MVP candidate. You had the older but still young guys that were still around. Westberg had arrived. Kowser had had a cup of coffee. We knew that there were more guys on the way. And you were thinking at that point, what? Man, this team's window is wide open. Maybe this is a lesson. And you said it. In defense of Mike Elias, it's not as though he just sat back and said, oh, it's all the young guys. Now, I think there have been some times where there's been a thought process of maybe you're counting on too much to go well, you know, internally. Like, for example, this past offseason, and Grayson Rodriguez is going to be your new ace. And how that turned out.
I don't know, man. There is a point with baseball where you bring in, even a decade ago,
Corbin Burns,
the Duquette era, to have the Weigh-In Chens and the Miguel Gonzalez's.
Sure.
And for this era, for Cano to have gone as well as it did, for O'Hearn, for Santander. I mean, they turn water into wine.
Look what they gave up for Corbin Burns. And I know it was a rental, but D.L. Hall is still not anything. And I'm not saying he won't become something, but he's certainly not the guy that the Orioles were hoping he was going to be 8 years ago. And Joey Ortiz profiles more as a kind of a utility infielder, right? Certainly not an all-star shortstop. But, you know, the point I was trying to make is if you're waiting for everything to come together perfectly and the stars to align perfectly and, okay, this guy's only going to be 2 years in the club control and this guy's going to be on the way. Like, it's not all going to work perfectly.
You're one herniated disc away from massive change.
And, I mean,
no
look at what we're
right?
talking about with Felix Batista now. I mean, now the question is very fair. If, one, is he going to pitch again? Two, is he going to be anything close to what he was? When you're talking about Tommy John surgery and then rotator cuff and torn labrum, I mean, ask anyone, I mean, relative of mine, goes to my church, you know, in my extended Walker side of the family for my mom. You know, he's in his 60s, works hard, still active, all that. He recently had rotator cuff surgery. Just for a civilian having rotator cuff surgery, that anyone will tell you, that is a you-know-what to go through in terms of rehab and everything.
Yeah.
So
the rubber band on the doorknob,
you know, it's
man,
one thing
forever.
That it's one thing to talk about Tommy John surgery, which, as I've pointed out to you, not that it always goes perfectly, but you can find so many. I mean, I think the statistic I saw about a year ago was roughly a third of the pitchers in Major League Baseball have had Tommy John surgery at some point in time. So that tells you it has a high return rate, or those guys wouldn't be in the majors. But when you start talking about rotator cuff and labrum, and, you know, that term I've used
well,
with
I
you,
mean,
the kinetic
what did
you
throw,
chain.
103 at one point? Or, you know,
yeah. yeah. I mean, you know? but there's a perfect
human
example.
Beings aren't meant to do this, Luke.
But there's a perfect example of why you need to take full advantage of this. We've talked about this with the Ravens. You know, where Lamar and where this young core was 6 years ago now. 2019 was 6 years ago. Now, they've kept their window's been open almost this entire time. Except when Lamar hasn't been healthy, right? But the point is, it's a nonsensical idea to say, oh, this team's ahead of schedule, or, oh, well, don't worry, this team's window is open for 6 more years or 10 more years. It might turn out that way, but you can't count on that. You can't just sit back and just wait for great things to happen, because this year was a perfect example of just how terribly it can go wrong. So,
well, I mean, we could talk about that with the Ravens, whether if this is the year that Marlon Humphrey, Ronnie Stanley, and Roquan Smith age,
or they get hurt.
And Mark Andrews ages and likely doesn't come back. And
yeah.
Derrick Henry ages, right? I mean, like, if this is that year,
you better have a bunch of young guys that step up then.
I'm not saying it is.
Sure.
I'm saying they're
never
all
know.
At that point where you question that. This Orioles team, this is not – no, dude. This needs to be an ascending operation.
Oh, no question. You still have too many guys that are in the never-was category before you just start saying, oh, that's – you know, you and I've used Colton Cowser as a case study, right? I've been higher on him in the past than you have been. I'm down on Colton Cowser right now. Now, how much of it is he missed 2 months with the thumb and you're pressing to get back to where you were and showing you're healthy and all that? He needs to be better. I mean, there's no doubt he has to be better, right? I mean, for one thing, he's playing center field right now. I mean, you're hoping... And I think as an athlete, he can handle that and play center field to the point where you don't necessarily need to go out and get a center fielder if he shows he can handle it. But
so
the current product.
You, and I would ask you this. By the way, Luke and I are down here at Fadley's. We're eating crab cakes. I'm getting the shrimp salad because I love the shrimp salad. And I'm also getting the fried oysters because Damie really sort of inspired me to do the oyster tour, which has sort of inspired my 27 favorite foods. Brought to you by Curia Wellness and Foreign Daughter. I the last couple of days I've been doing pastries. So, I got to be careful here. I don't know if you've ever
had... Get that extra padding for football season.
Have you ever had the blueberry morning biscuit at Rise on Timonium?
I have not. I've heard
Delicioso.
About it.
Delicioso.
Oh, I got
to
try.
It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I have Lucky Sevens and the Pressure Lux. So this is where I am with firing Mike Elias last week at Baltimore Positive, based solely on just leadership and just the fact that there's a new owner,
yeah,
and that's just what new owners would do. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen or not. I also feel like in our case here, as the Red Sox series may be the beginning of bringing up Basayo, bringing up Beavers, whatever they're going to be, and it would be nice to get Westberg back, getting everybody... All the
Kyle Bradish is set to pitch next week.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So do you – and by the way, Manzolino now with an above 500 record, right? I mean, as a manager.
Yeah.
So, okay. And yeah, they're about to play the Dodgers, teams that need to win,
sure,
right? Teams that are in
the schedule.
Thing, right?
The schedule's going to be a bear. I mean,
okay,
for so whatever that's worth for the Orioles, they're going to see good
competition.
They're
going to play baseball games every night, mm-hmm, even if nobody's watching,
sure,
other than us and the nerds, right? So do you give – most of these guys, the clean slate, that when you and I are being hard asses on them in the off season, we're never hard asses on them. We're not even going to pay attention to them so much in the off season because they're probably the football team's going to ascend and we'll start talking about baseball again February whenever
they make a move.
February, the day after the Ravens are eliminated, whatever that is, or January or whatever that.
Hopefully
would be
after a parade.
No,
right?
But I'm trying to be
sure
fair about,
I gotcha,
this, right? So to me, to be fair to Colton Cowser, to be fair even to Ryan Mountcastle, right? I want to say for all of these guys, none of these guys are washed up, right? There's no Charlie Morton here, right? There's nobody they are putting out there. There's no more Cedric Mullins. There's no more O'Hearn. There's
sure
no more, yeah, like, these are the babies of all of them, right? Do we judge their bubblegum card in the offseason by what they did in September, what they did the last 50 games?
Yeah.
Do we just look at it and say, all right, if Rutschman can hit 278 for 6 weeks and hit 7 home runs the rest of the way, 5 home, whatever, if we just look at it and say they're driving in runs, hey, man, they played 6-12 ball against contenders for 40 days.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, I mean, I'm
sure
trying to find something to hang my hat on other than let's fire Elias, the owners are not going to
play.
Because I can play that all day because all of that's true. And I'm sitting here in the Astros or in town. We got a convention here at Fadley's. But, like, you know, people are going to fall asleep on this baseball team right now, especially
yeah
when the football team starts playing next week. That's all.
Yeah. And look, I mean, that's reality, right? I mean, and that's kind of reality around the country, unless your team is going to the playoffs.
But how about those Padres, huh?
Football and how about the Brewers?
How about the Brewers?
Brewers,
right?
Are unbelievable. Yeah. But unless your baseball team is really special and on the way to the playoffs, college football and the NFL are going to suck up
all the oxygen, you brought that up,
right? I mean, but
I don't, you know what I mean? First, like, I don't think like that, but the world does.
But the world does. Yeah, you know, the country does.
Sure.
You know, most of the country, let's say. So, look, is there any path for the Orioles to really take up a lot of oxygen the rest of the way? No. But I will say this last month and what I wrote this past weekend at BaltimorePositive.com, it was a time when they finally produced some good news in a sense that they really, really needed it because of what's happened on the field and off with the Birdland memberships and all of that, which is another conversation for another time.
I really need to talk to an expert on that.
Sure.
Anybody out there, if you're in YouTube Landia,
yeah,
if you're out on the radio at WNST, if you're in my world and you are a Birdland person – and you want to explain it to me like Schoolhouse Rock, like I did last week at the beach with all the politicians? I'd love to. I mean, apparently Katie Griggs called into Ed Norris, who's never bought a baseball ticket. I mean, like, talk to somebody that was a PSL holder, somebody that went all over the country for 30 years. I was in Toronto 8 weeks ago. Dude, you and I were going to travel together. I had a flight for us next week, like literally, to go out to the West Coast for the San Diego thing, right? San Francisco. And I was, like, trying to work Dodger Stadium, because she's never been to Dodger Stadium.
Right.
And I feel like before I die, you die, this dies, we die, Trump gets us all killed. I think you should go to Dodger Stadium. That's what I think. So I'm not waiting for the Orioles to get in the first place for that to do that, you know?
Yeah.
Nonetheless, I digress.
No, but I think there's a path here for them to – for people to pay attention during the week.
Yes.
When Kyle Bradish is making his next start, coming back from – the IL and a 13 or 14 month recovery from Tommy John. Tyler Wells has I think one more outing after he was pitching Thursday, you know, kind of as the Orioles come home for the start of this homestand, as you and I are talking in real time. So he's right around the corner too. You want to see, not that those guys are going to be like completely all the way back, but good enough signs, right?
I just want to see if Beavers is overmatched. If Bisaio looks like a 21-year-old catcher,
That was the great thing about both of their respective debuts. They actually looked like they belong. They didn't, like, we didn't see this, and it's not a knock on
them. They're not coming into a pennant race either,
right? It's not a knock on them, but like Jackson Holliday, when we saw him called up April of 2024, 10 days into the season, he was completely overwhelmed. Kobe Mayo looked completely overwhelmed last year when he was called up. Colton Cowser 2 years ago looked completely overwhelmed. And look, that's not to bury those guys.
Brooks Robinson was overwhelmed.
Yeah, exactly. But it is nice. If you can choose one or the other, you'd rather have that guy taste some success right away. And we've seen that with Beavers,
Get a big hit,
I don't know if you saw this. You know me. I'm a big fan of MLB Network. Mark DeRosa, who, by the way, and I'm not holding my breath on this one, I think he would be a really interesting managerial candidate as kind of a middle-of-the-road, longtime former major leaguer. He's coached or managed the U.S. for the World Baseball Classic, and I think he is well-versed enough in the modern era of analytics that's the kind of guy, even though he's not a experienced major league manager, but I digress. Anyway, he did a package on Samuel Bisaio after his first two major league games, and he was just singing the praises that he's like, look, this kid's just now 21. He's going to scuffle some. He'll need to be more selective and things of that nature. But he was just going through it, and he's just like, you see it with this guy. This isn't me completely being out of hand overreacting. You see it. And I'm assuming a lot of that is also he talks to a lot of people around the game. I've been saying to you for months, people around, like, you know, the Baseball America, scouts, you know, people within the industry around the game have all asked about Bisaio when the Orioles have been in trade talks the last couple years. And the Orioles have said absolutely not, because everyone thinks this guy might be the grand piece when it comes to the bat. Now, whether he's going to catch, whether he's going to ultimately be more of a DH like David Ortiz. Not saying he's going to be David Ortiz, but like that. Whether he's going to be a first baseman, that is still to be determined. But the bat, people love it. I mean, they absolutely love it. So, you know, I'm not saying that means he's going to hit 15 home runs.
Who's going to pitch?
Sure, no question. But their offense has been incredibly underwhelming.
Some of these flowers need to bloom, dude.
No doubt.
Need to bloom in darkness right
Absolutely.
Now, in the middle of a pennant race
Absolutely.
In L.A. and you know places, San Diego. They're gonna go play in stadium where they're the bad guys. They got Bill Simmons all pissed off at them in Boston this
right.
week. You know, like they need to be a spoiler here. But they need to. They're not going to invigorate the city. They're not even going to invigorate their own fan base.
Just get people feeling
I'm
better.
I'm trying to get them to invigorate you and me
get
from a baseball perspective. That in the off season we can speak with them about what they've done with some level of credibility that there could be a bounce back next year. Ifs and buts and candies and nuts.
Well, I mean,
you know, I mean,
let's think about this.
These guys can't stink to the finish line
sure.
and play 380 ball
sure.
the rest of the way.
Because again, as I've said to you, the moves that we know they have to make, they can't replace four of those guys. Also, right? There's
well,
no.
I mean, it'd
path
be a hell of
that.
A thing if Trevor Rogers is this,
I
and
mean,
if Bradish comes back, at least they got. Two guys they can
you
think they can start on opening
you
day.
You feel way better
then
about
throw,
it.
You know, Kramer in you know, there, and you start to color.
Still need to get a number one or a number two. Like even if that, like you still need a top half guy to go with them.
I am not going to stop you from spending Mr. Rubenstein's money.
Sure.
Here this offseason.
And again,
I'm going to encourage you to spend Mr.
Paper,
Rubenstein's money.
As we've said, on paper, there should be plenty of money to spend, even if we're just going off of what they spent
have
this past offseason.
On their payroll,
right?
Man.
Exactly.
You know.
So. But I guess for me...
But they also got $1.8 billion into this baby.
Let me see these young guys trending in the right direction. Basayo doesn't need to hit 15 home runs over the last 5 weeks of the season, but can he hit 8 with a 280 average? And he's, you know, looks like he can be a pretty solid catcher that you're going to have in tandem with Adley Rutschman and looking like... Can Dylan Beavers, does he look the part of a guy that you're going to say, all right, I'm not handing him a 162-game... You know, job, no questions asked, but I'm confident enough that he's going to be a big part of that equation for me because they're going to need another outfielder. I mean, you look at this, Kowser, again, some projecting there. Hopefully he finishes on a high note. Hopefully he shows a good enough center field that you say he's part of that equation.
What about Tyler O'Neill, who is the biggest part of their payroll for next year?
I mean, this is where you get tricky, and this is where I think you could end up seeing a trade. Not him. I mean, they're not going to be able to trade him. But when you consider some of the needs they have, outfield, obviously pitching. I mean, especially now, I mean, the bullpen, Felix Bautista, I mean, they're going to need a closer. Out here, Tyler Wells could fit into the late inning picture. You can't make him your closer, right? I mean, that's not. So they're going to have to go out and get that. We've talked about starting pitching.
I mean, I hope it goes better than Craig Kimbrell.
Sure, which if you recall, I wasn't a fan of that from the day they did that. I'm like, I see it, but I don't know. But the point is, you do kind of look at best case scenario for Tyler O'Neill, within the reasonable realm of expectations, let's say. Let's say he stays healthy enough to play 110, 120 games next year, which is a lot for based on his career. I'm guessing a lot of that is going to be serving as a DH. You know, he'll play some outfield. I'm not saying he has to, you know, burn his glove or anything. So you have him. I've already mentioned Basayo and the questions there. You have Kobe Mayo, who I think is showing progress as a defensive first baseman, but you still come back to, like, is he going to hit enough to that he's going to be an everyday player? You know, you just in a general sense. I mean, Mountcastle, I think, is either going to be traded or non-tendered. I really have a tough time buying him on the team next year.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but my point is I've just named three or four guys that kind of fit the – they might have to DH a decent amount.
There's only one DH.
That gets to be busy. So my point is maybe Kobe Mayo gets traded this offseason as part of something for a pitcher. Because I still think – I'm not saying his value is as great as it was a year ago, but I don't think it's down here either, like at the floor either. I think he's what he is. He's young and unproven. And he's flashed, but he's also had some periods where, yeah, he struggled.
Especially at the big league level.
So you look at that. I mean, I will continue to say
very little sign at the big league level.
They're going to need a bat this offseason. Like, even if all these young guys are trending in the right direction, I think we've learned now.
And that bat's got to be an outfield bat.
It's got to be something that's more dependable than Tyler O'Neill. So I'm not saying it's going to be a guy that's going to win MVP. Like, I would love them to go after Kyle Schwarber, although he's another DH type. But that bat, I'm not holding my breath on that. I'd like it to happen because I think that would be he would also be a veteran, established
veteran. He's the pile diver.
He'd be an established veteran who's played in World Series and all that.
Well, you pay him $8 million too much to come in and, and be your guy if you think he's your guy.
But I guess, you know, the point, and I'm kind of all over the place here, because they have a lot that they have to address.
They're a last-place team.
But this comes
with, I mean, other than Gunnar Henderson, I don't know what they have.
I mean, I'll say
come on, man.
They have more than that. You know, like,
they have potential beyond that.
But they have more than that. I mean, like, Jordan Westberg's already been on an all-star team. Adley Rutschman's already been on two all-star teams. But in terms of, yes, a guy that you're saying is
Dude, you're
the extension
fighting against
guy.
Me on my own premise of this whole thing, which is I'm not here. I'm going to be like Mark McGwire. I'm going to be here not to talk about the past.
I gotcha.
So I'm just saying, like,
my point
whatever they are the next 6 weeks is what they are to me. That's the value they
I think
hold
it's important.
To me next opening day.
And that's fair. I think it's important. If it goes extremely well, my point is I think it's important not to just say, all right, well, we're fine.
Well, I
you know what I mean?
2024 like, against Adley Rutschman.
Yeah.
But I will if it, I September mean, looks like 2024.
My issue with Adley Rutschman at this point now is I will say this, and this is where I want to credit him. His defense has been much better this year than it was last year. And the metrics kind of support that as well. My issue is he's now dealing with another abdominal issue. Like, look, pitching health is an entire industry-wide crisis. It's an epidemic. Whatever, there's no way of – there's no euphemism that's inappropriate for what pitching is.
And they all hurt their arms. Right?
That said,
yes.
This team has had an inordinate number of soft tissue issues with hamstrings, and not just hamstrings, but long-term hamstring issues. They've had
Cedric
obliques.
Mullins.
They've had rib cages. They've had all of that. That's my biggest question. One of my biggest questions for Mike Elias at this point is, are you looking at your strength and conditioning that there was some kind of gap or something that was lost this year, something that needs to be tightened up? Because it's one thing when you're talking about a 36-year-old DH who's on his last legs and he pulls his hamstring running the first base.
Or a 56-year-old washed-up sports guy who's trying to stretch
Soon to be 42-year-old guy with a bad shoulder,
Fadley's.
You know, like
I'm
anything like
show
that.
Fadley's, but, you know, but, his flat arm.
But it's another thing when you're talking about these guys that are 25 years old and, like, they're suffering a hamstring and then they're done. Like, Jorge Mateo had a hamstring issue with just now finally going on a rehab assignment. I mean, we've talked – Westberg had a hamstring and then had a setback in the middle of his rehab. Like, that to me is something that you're never going to eliminate injuries. And yes, injury luck is a real thing. And we've seen that. I mean, I think back to Joe Flacco having James Hurst pushed into his knee, right? And it ripped up his knee in 2015. So you're not going to avoid injuries entirely. But when you have a lot of those types of injuries, I'm asking questions about what you're doing strength and conditioning wise. And that, by the way, that doesn't always mean the coaches and the trainers. Sometimes your players need to work harder then. Sometimes maybe it's that. So that's a big question that I have. And I have that question for Adley Rutschman. I mean, just when his bat was really looking as good as it had looked in a calendar year is when he had the oblique back in what? Mid-June, I guess it was. You know, right after that West Coast, you know, out in Seattle when he hit the heck out of the ball. So
it's been a crazy skid through this era of young players with injuries.
It's gone so horribly. Yeah. It's gone so horribly in that way that, again, elbows and shoulders for pitchers, the person that solves this is going to make bank.
Well, look, dude, 2 years ago, if you'd have told me Rodriguez, Bradish, Batista, all of these guys would
Wells,
be
I mean,
not a
list.
Factor at all because of injury.
It's a shame.
And that Rutschman would be not good enough. Westberg would be more injured. Kowser would be so-so. Henderson would be not really ascending, would be still looking back and have the kind of year
he had
2 years
ago. I think Gunnar's
had
a really good year since the first month. The 6 weeks
well,
he that he
wasn't
was back.
Physically well then.
I think we're going to find out that when you and I don't even know if there's going to be like this grand proclamation about it. I think when you're talking about a ribcage injury for a hitter in spring training, I think there's a lot that's
everything
lost
shuts down.
Strength and conditioning wise. Gunnar's numbers are absolutely fine other than the home runs are down. I mean, he's hitting a lot of doubles. His walk rate is better than other guys. Since June, he's been way better against left-handed pitching than he was the first 2 months of the season. His defense has been way better than it was last year.
See, this is what you want to talk about, six of these guys
sure,
in the offseason.
Sure, no question. I mean, there's a lot that they have to play for. And, again, these young guys, like, some of this is also this is why, and you mentioned this in passing, and I'll address it right now. Tony Mancelino, I think, has done a perfectly okay, adequate job as a caretaker that an interim manager is. No. Like, before anyone asks, no, you need to bring in a legit command or a respect commanding kind of manager that, in the way that Buck Showalter, when he came in.
Who is that in your mind?
I don't
mind?
Know.
Somebody that's already managed?
Yeah. If it had aligned a year later, Terry Francona would have been perfect, but he's in Cincinnati, so I digress.
Tito's unavailable.
Yeah, and look. I don't, and you know me, I don't want to be a hypocrite here because I'm always the type that said, you know, don't hire a name just because the fans know who they are. And so that's me, that's my way of couching this and saying it doesn't need to necessarily be someone that, you know, Buck Showalter, like, and I'm just using Buck just because name recognition. But it needs to be someone that makes these guys a little uncomfortable. And what I mean by that is not by, like, berating them or belittling them, but I've said this to you from the moment that Hyde was tossed off the boat. I want someone to come in that doesn't give a you know what that all these guys are former top 100 prospects, and that doesn't mean that he's not going to respect them as young men, or but like
they are what they are.
The coddling
right
time
now
is over.
Is what I'm telling
you guys are
you.
Coming off of a last place
hey,
season,
man,
like all that.
This is so, me giving them all a yeah, free pass,
sure,
saying I would start from
sure,
go right
so,
now.
So my thought,
and saying what you are in September is what you are.
So my
to me.
Thought on that is
to me or any other general manager,
I want all these guys to like step up, knowing that that's coming.
Whether
right?
I'm new or old, that is the reality.
Sure,
you know.
And I think you know I've talked about this with you. I think they're. I don't know this for certain, but there's probably something to be said about making a trade that deals someone in that core that shakes things up a little bit. To basically
well, help Stowers.
Yeah, I mean, sure. But
oh, he was
but I'm not even necessarily
he was one of the bros in that group.
Yeah,
though.
No yeah. question. But I'm not even talking about like, oh, well, this we're trading this guy because we're down on him. You know, it might just be, okay, we still like this player, but if we can go get someone's number one or number two starting pitcher that has 2 years of club, and I'm speaking in generalities right now, then I'm not so sure it's not the worst thing to shake this group up a little bit and to let them know that, hey, this isn't.
And that would be happening why? Because they'd be willing to pay this pitcher and they'd be willing to pay a team that's looking to get rid of Paul Skeens.
Because it always depends. I mean,
right?
it always depends how much are they. How much are they making right now? How much are they going to make the next couple of years? Are they under club control? Is it a case like Zach Eflin where it's maybe more of a veteran pitcher that has a couple of years of
how about,
team
how about
contractual
all that.
Control?
How about are they going to be any good?
Well, what? You mean the Orioles?
No.
Oh,
the
pitcher? Oh, yeah.
I don't care what I'm
well,
paying
you're
them.
Not. If you're going to trade Colton Cowser, you're not trading Colton Cowser for some team's number five starter. Colton Cowser still has a lot of value, regardless of what he looks like. Of how he's playing
we're
right
now. We're
going
to find that all
I mean,
out.
I mean, I'm just telling you he does because okay. he's got because he has, what, 4 years
but
of team control
But pitching has
left.
More value, though, especially when half
sure,
the guy's arms have fallen
sure, but,
off.
Well, but ask the Seattle Mariners what their lineup looked like the last couple years.
Hey, look, you know
compared
what, man? Well, ask the Seattle Mariners if they want to send one of their pitchers over here, what are they going to look at to fleece? Do they want Rutschman? Do they want Cowser? Do they want Holiday?
You brought
Do
it up.
Do they want
you know
Westberg?
What?
Do they want Mayo? Right.
I would be completely open to trading Adley Rutschman in the right deal at this point. Completely open.
Because you have Bisaio.
Because I have Bisaio. And
yes.
Adley Rutschman is now 2 years away from free agency. And
you wonder how any of these guys get dealt. If you have no intention of giving Gunnar Henderson $400 million,
well,
now's the time to deal him.
There's the Manny Machado.
Whatever that thing is,
yeah.
You know?
Sure,
right.
Sure, sure. Well, and that to me is where I bring up Rutschman. And let me be clear. This isn't me saying because I'm down on Adley Rutschman over because of the last year that I'm just going to give him away for spare parts or a reliever or something. But it's if you have the right deal that comes together, yeah, I'd trade him. Because I have no interest in extending him on a long-term contract.
There you go.
I mean, I just don't.
You've already made the Matt Wieners decision
have,
on that.
I have plenty of interest whether I'm going to be able to do it or not if I'm speaking as a fictional general manager with an unlimited budget. I have plenty of interest in extending Gunnar Henderson. I have strong interest in extending Jordan Westberg, although I, you know, come on, man, you got to stay on the field. But he,
well,
but
the Ravens dealing Hollywood Brown was sure. Like, you know, we just weren't going to sign him. Orlando Brown.
And then they, you know, that year it hurt, but then they drafted Zay Flowers, who's a better version of Hollywood
Brown.
And
they like him enough to put him in their bank commercial.
And Zay might be the guy that gets a contract, although, I don't know, man. I look at wide receiver contracts now, and I'm just like,
yeah, Zay Flowers did the thing right in front of the mural over here. Okay, Luke Jones is here. We're at Faitley's. My hips are sore, and I need to sit down. Dr. Steve, I love you. L.A. Chiropractic. We're at Faitley's. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I am eating my 27 favorite things. Today is day 10 on the countdown. We're here at Faitley's, and I will be eating the shrimp salad and the fried oysters. I'm going to have a crab cake, too. Don't tell anybody. You tell everybody because I'm going to eat it. But, you know, I did a crab cake on the Eastern Shore at Old Salty's in Hooper's Island, partially because I just think everybody should drive there because it's so beautiful, and also to educate themselves about Harriet Tubman, about the birds, the sanctuary, all the amazing things over there and the marshland. But, like, everybody knows how good the crab cakes here are. So I'm going to feature the shrimp salad because
really
I love
good.
It.
I've had
I love
it too.
The shrimp salad, and I love the fried oysters here. And I love being at the market. So we're here at Lexington Market in beautiful downtown Baltimore. It's all brought to you by our friends at GBMC. Got a new sponsor out there. They're trying to get me to the hospital, dude. It's like checkup, colonoscopy.
Gotta take care of that stuff.
I know. That's why I'm here. All right, I'm going to go eat now. We're going to come back. We're going to talk some football. I have R.J. Shepard coming over from Classic 5 and from Forest Park Golf. I've been threatening him with a crab cake. He went to BMW. He's got a son. They love the Orioles, so it's going to be a great crab cake tour stop with R.J. Shepard. Damie's going to come by. I'm going to feed her delicious shrimp salad, which isn't too mayonnaise-y. It's not mushy-gushy. It's fresh. Because you know we're at Faitley's. The sign up here says, read that there, our fish come from the best schools.
That's good.
That's a dad joke.
I like that.
Back for more. We're at Faitley's. Stay with us. We're Baltimore Positive.